We read the account of Yisro's visit. One cannot help but be inspired and uplifted. Yisro left a luxurious life in Midian to join Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, in the arid wilderness. Rashi quotes from Chazal, Torah emphasizes, El ha-Midbar asher uchonesh amhar ha-Elokim. We know where they are. We know they're in the Midbar. B'shvacho shel Yisro diber ha-kasuf. Shahi Yoshe v'kvodo shel olam v'nedavo libo latzeis el ha-Midbar. Makom tohu v'shmo divei Torah. The wonders of Yitzias Mitzrayim were heard far and wide by many, but only one individual took it as a personal calling, refusing to remain passive. Yisro genuinely felt the joy of Am Yisrael, expresses hodah, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. The Gemara says, no one from Kal Yisrael said Baruch Hashem. It took Yisro to express in the most basic level hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisro embraces the Borei Olam, enters into the breeze of Gerus. Yisro leaves an impact on the system of Batei Dinim, revolutionizes the judicial system that was then in place. The portrait of Yisro, which emerges from the Psukim in the Chumash, is of a remarkable individual. If you look in Chazal as well, Chazal extol the wonderful aspects of Yisro as reflected in his different names. Yeser, Shehosir Pasha Achas Batorah, Yisro, Sheiter B'masim Tovim, Chovav, Sheichaviv Lamakom, and so on. Even the comment of Chazal that Rashi quotes by Yichad Yisro, that even Yisro's joy was tempered by the downfall of Mitzrayim, is not a criticism of Yisro per se, but an observation of human nature, not meant to diminish Yisro's lofty status. Yisro's children get a special shir in Eretz Yisrael. Tzifri tells us they had a doshna shel Yericho for so many, many years, and they're special, special qualities to Yisro and his family. With this in mind, we find something very strange in the very first pasuk of the Torah, of this parasha. The Torah refers to Yisro with two titles. Vayishma Yisro, Chohen Midyan, Chosen Moshe. Chosen Moshe certainly is an honor. Chosno Shel Melech. But what is the meaning of Kohen Midyan? So it's a machokas in the Mechilta. According to one opinion, Rabbi Elazar Modai, Kohen Midyan means a sar, sar haya, kinyin shenemar of Nei David Kohanim hayu. Yisro was a man of distinction, an officer, a leader, a chief. This is also what Rashi says in Parshas Vayigash. There's another opinion in the Mechilta, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kohen Midyan means Komer, Komer Haya. Yisro was served Avodah Zarah. Komer means he was serving in a house of worship for Avodah Zarah. That was what he did for many, many years. How strange. The Torah, of all places, the Torah is trying to extol Yisro's Maila, and how he came to the Midbar, and he was Moser Nefesh, and everything that he did. And in this very section, the Torah refers to him by the title Kohen Midyan, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Kohen. But it's not just here. It gets even more puzzling when we look at a pasuk in Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era, the Torah goes over the lineage of Shevet Levi. It starts with Reuven and then Shimon and gets to Levi. Tells us about Aaron and Moshe. Aaron married the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadav and had four children. One of them was Elazar. Then the pasuk says, Elazar ben Aaron lakach lo mibnos prutiel lo liisha vatered lo es pinchas. Elazar marries from the daughters are Putiyah. Who's Putiyah? We never heard the name before. Chazal tell us in Sota and Bava Basra, Putiel is a name that refers to Yosef and also refers to Yisro. The wife of Elazar ben Aaron descended from one side from Yosef, from the other side from Yisro, whichever way it is, from the father one and from the mother the other. Why the name Putiel? Putiel is a reference to Yosef, Shepit Peit B'Yisro. Yosef was Mizalzo, Rashi says, in his Yetzahara. He conquered his Yetzahara. He didn't succumb to Averos. Quite a feat. And then we have Putiel as a reference to Yisro. Why? Unbelievable. Shepitem Agolim La'avodazar. He fattened Putiel. He fattened calves for Avodazar. And so we have the name Putiel here in describing the great yichus of Shevet HaKohuna, Elazar ben Aaron marrying from the daughters of Putiel, his wife descended from Yisro, and Yisro's yichus in this very parsha, we're trying to highlight the yichus of Shevet HaKohuna. We're talking about Yisro as the one who fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. What an enigma. What is this? Yisro's stint as Kohen Midyan, Yisro's fattening calves to Avodah Zarah, must have some redeeming value. It must be interpreted here as shvach, not lignai. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mentioned in the context of a parsha that's singing Yisro's praises, or in a section of the Torah that establishes the yichus of Shevet HaKohuna. I want to share an amazing insight, which I confess I would not have dared to say on my own. But it's brought in the Sefer Sam Derech, by Rav Simcha Zissel Broida of the late Rosh Hashiva and Chevron Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he explains that the Torah wants to highlight Yisro's most defining characteristic, a midah that personifies the very essence of Yisro, and the midah that propelled him to become a Ger Tzedek. And that midah, that quality, is Bakashas HaEmes, the pursuit of truth, and the willingness to pursue Emes relentlessly and with every ounce of his being. Yisro waged a personal crusade to discover Emes. It was his life's passion. So intense was his pursuit that whenever Yisro discovered an idol that seemed right, Yisro worshipped it with such a zest and such a devotion that was second to none. It wasn't enough just to purchase a calf to offer the idol. That wouldn't do. It wasn't authentic enough. Yisro aspired for a higher standard, one that bore a personal touch. Pitei magogim l'avodah zarah. He breeded them from infancy. He fed them at his own personal expense, all for the sake of a cause that Yisro was convinced represented the ultimate emes, the ultimate truth. That was what his standards of emes demanded. But given that same innate sense of emes, Yisro quickly came to another realization. As the initial glimmer wore off, Yisro exposed the fallacies of that avodah zarah. And he realized quickly enough that what he had taken for emes was anything but emes. And so the same drive that Yisro had for emes propelled him to continue his quest to look elsewhere. And all of this, after all that had been invested, all his energy, the resources, and with paying a hefty price in terms of burning bridges, losing popularity, it says that he was put in cheirem because he left Avodah Zarah, one Avodah Zarah. He was still looking So he found another one. But meanwhile, he was alienated from his friends, from his past. And despite all this, Yisro knew he had to move on, because he had to find the Emes. Soon enough, Yisro discovers another god, another deity, which seemed to be the perfect embodiment of Emes. And once again, Yisro applied himself 100% to the service of that deity. Again, Pitaim Agolim, Avodah Zarah. Only to discover once again that it wasn't the real thing. And so it went from deity to deity. Chazal tells us, Rashi quotes, in the parasha Atoyadati, Ki Godo Hashem Miko Elohim, there was not one Avodah Zarah in the world that Yisro had not become acquainted with. One by one, Yisro, like a scientist, went through the experience of investigating, thinking this was it, no, next, only to reject them all. And so, by describing Yisro as Kohen Midyan, by highlighting Yisro's fattening of calves, Avodah Zarah, explains our Simcha Zisa Breida, the Torah wishes to highlight that it was precisely Yisro's Mida of Bakasha Sar Emes, epitomized by the passion in which he served each and every Geshka, which led him to ultimately discover the true Borei Olam. It's not that the Torah in any way is validating the act of Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. Nor is the Torah looking to diminish Yisro's greatness by bringing up skeletons from his past. Lehefech, to the contrary, these experiences that the Torah highlights, Yisro as a Kohen Midyan, Yisro as the one who had fattened calves for so many years, Avodah Zarah, these represent a badge of honor, because they are the means by which Yisro arrived at the ultimate truth. I thought to explain based on this, perhaps, Atoyadati Kigodo Hashem Mikol Haruhim. So how do you translate Mikol Haruhim? The men means greater than, more than, but maybe more than that. Maybe the men means because of. From the experience that he had with all those other gods, that's what led him to recognize that Gigadol Hashem. To reflect on this is just mind-boggling. We see from here that the incredible premium that the Torah attaches to the pursuit of Emes, even the abhorrent act of Avodah Zarah, when characterized by a pursuit of Emes, when motivated by trying to find Emes, can be held up as a badge of honor if that worship is motivated by Emes and ultimately leads one to discover the absolute Emes. There are Jews, there are non-Jews all over the globe who seek Emes. They may know nothing about Judaism. They may be seeking it in the ashram in India and all of the wrong places. And while we pity their ignorance, we should never look down at the individuals who are genuinely seeking, nor should we diminish the importance of what it means to search for truth. If the quest is real, if their motivation is pure, they may well be led to a life of total mitzvahs. And so saying the wrong thing mindlessly can do tremendous damage. But how does this apply to us? Baruch Hashem, we've been privileged to be exposed to Emes, to Torah's Emes. So how does it speak to us? It's ironic. We find it harder to to really seek out emes precisely because we already have it. Perhaps we should place ourselves in environments that force us to grapple more. But then again, there's a problem there as well. We might be assuming too great a risk. How pure are our intentions, our motivations? Not all of us carry the same passion as a Yisro. There's a fascinating medrash in connection to Yisro and Moshe. The Baal HaTurim quotes this as well in Parashas Shmos, Vayom Moshe Oshemes Esa'ish. Yisro made a deal with Moshe. You want to marry my daughter Tzipora? Here it is. Here's the deal. The first child that you have should be a Komer La'avodah Zarah. Moshe agreed. What's going on? What's Yisro thinking? What's Moshe thinking? So Rav Simcha Zisro Breida says, this was before Yisro finally arrived at the absolute emes. He was between one Avodah Zarah and the other, so he thought the Avodah Zarah he was holding at, that was it. That was his deal. Moshe knew the power of Yisro's quest for emes. Moshe knew when time would come, he would have long discovered Torah and the real emes. So Moshe knew that he had nothing to lose because he knew who Yisro was. But then again, was it right for Yisro to think that this is what should happen? Avchaim Shmuel Rebbe says that maybe Yisro already knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the Borei Olam. But Yisro knew what it took for him to get there. And Yisro felt that his son had to take the same path. He wanted the same for his son, that he would find it on his own. Yisro assumed that his son would have the same genes as he and would be able to find MS the same way he did. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says that was a mistake. Yisro had a blind spot because not everybody is a Yisro, and you can't put yourself necessarily in a situation thinking that you'll be able to ultimately arrive at MS. You may end up getting caught along the way with all kinds of other things and not being able to extricate yourself from it. We say in Uvolet Sion, Uman lo niga lo nik velo neled la behola. So in the Siddur, the old Siddur Agra they bring, person can put in many, many years of literally Mesiris Nefesh, and it can all amount to a Mesiris Nefesh for something which is not Emes. And all our efforts are in vain. Niga la rik. There's a Gemara that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz quotes in Yuma about a Tzeduki that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim doing it the way he had his tradition, and he told his son, Kol Yomai Ha'isi Mitztayer, that I have to do it the way we know it to be right. And you see, unbelievable thing, that his Mesiras Nefesh was for the wrong cause. If a person is genuinely motivated by Emes without any negis, then they will find their way back. They will find their way to Borei Olam. But there are so many possibilities of risk and things that could go wrong. So therefore, we can't put ourselves in such a situation that obviously would risk too much. What is our challenge? Our challenge is to recognize that we have emes, but we have to make it our own emes. It has to become a personal acquisition. Emes kinei v'al timkor. The Kutzker used to say, a sharf avart, as befits the Kutzker, the difference between many in Umos HaOlam and many in Kal Yisrael, he says, in Yiddish, zei dinin der sheker mit emes, of mir dinin der emes mit sheker. They serve sheker with emes. There's Mesiris Nefesh, there's passion. We, unfortunately, leider, we serve emes, but with sheker. We're not emesic in our emes. So that whatever we do should be with a sense of authenticity, with a sense of drive, with a sense of mission, with a sense of emes. Everything we do in our routine, which is Kodesh Kadashim, and Torah's emes, our learning, our sdarim, our davening. There's no place to be proud of a 28-minute shachris. it's totally mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense for anyone who thinks about it. There's emes and there's emes in emes. We have to find the passion and capture it and recognize it and hold on to it and build a reservoir that we can fall back on. And there's always searching. It's not as if we can rest on our laurels. It's always a quest to find the balance between so many parts of ourselves within Avodas Hashem, within a world of emes. There's emes to find that's uniquely emes for us. V'sein chelkeinu b'sorasecha. Every individual has a chelek that's unique to them. Whether that has to do with balancing Torah and chesed, Torah and mada. What to learn, b'kiyus, iyun, how much halacha, chumish, musar, how to prioritize our time. And it's a quest. It's not as if we can find the answer right away, but we have to feel that we're on a quest. We have tensions in the environment, in the institution, no doubt about it. But we have to recognize that those tensions can also be used to foster our quest for emes. We're exposed here to all kinds of things, all kinds of information. The world of mada is not always in sync with the world of Torah. Some of these ideas may be compatible, some less so, and some antithetical. And yes, the exposure does carry a measure of risk, and we need siyata d'shmaya to emerge whole. But if we see it as part of a larger quest, a noble quest for emes, then we'll grow in the process. And we need siyata d'shmaya, but we can actually grow as a result. As long as the pursuit is done with emes, even the setbacks are vehicles for growth. Just as Yisrael didn't shy away after everything he invested, each time he was able to come right back and pursue the next goal, what he thought was emes, with the same mission, the same passion, the same zest, so it has to be with us. If we're genuine in our quest, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us. We should not shy away from questions, so long as they step from a pursuit of emes. It's not always easy to know the difference. Sometimes a question can be an excuse, can be a way to avoid having to fulfill our obligations. There's questions of a chacham, there's questions of a rasha. We have to try in whatever way to understand our motives, our agendas, but if it feels like it's a genuine question, then we should recognize it, we should validate it, we shouldn't squelch it or think that there's anything wrong. In whatever area, if it's part of a quest for MS, that's what we need to do. That's how we grow. If we just act like robots, then we're not growing. We're just simply going through motions. That's serving the MS with Shekin. Hashem should give us the Siyata D'Shmaya, the Tahir Libeinu, La'avdecha Be'emes.